Even though God created time for man's service, God is not bound by time. This is the Chapel Platform coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. After the hymns led by Jim Berg, today's speaker is the late Dr. Gilbert Stenholm, who was the director of ministerial training at the university for many years. Please note that he makes very specific references to events that had occurred up to the time he delivered this message. Dr. Stenholm spoke on Thursday, June 22, 1972, at a summer chapel service at the university. When we trust the Lord to make the most of every minute, He will use us in miraculous ways to accomplish His purpose. Turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 34. Listen now to Dr. Stenholm's message of trust in God's plan titled, Don't Fear Tomorrow or Waste Today.
Turn to number 35, an old favorite. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Number 35. Let's stand as we sing. Sing the first verse sitting down, then we'll have you stand up again. The first verse, all right? Sing the second and third verses. I think we can do a little better on the second then.
Thank you.
20 minutes ago, a long-distance phone call came from Iowa. On the other end of the line was a gentleman from a church who asked if we had anybody at Fort Bragg who could see a young man who yesterday had a horrible accident on the Army base as they were maneuvering, having lost his leg and perhaps going blind. A very fine Christian boy who loved the Lord had just a little while left in the armed services before he was to return to his home and get back into his activities as he did prior to his induction into the armed services. He asked me if I knew of someone in the vicinity who could go see this boy and have prayer with him and do what he possibly could under the circumstances, and I was glad that we had a graduate in Fayetteville, a very fine young man who's a pastor there, who could go and see this young man. The other day we read in the paper where some 120 were killed in an airplane accident as they were taking off from London in England going to Brussels. When you read these stories and hear these reports, you realize that life is uncertain. And you ask yourself the question, how much time do we have left? Now, the Bible is full of prophecy in the Old and the New Testament informing us that Christ is coming again. I'm glad I have that hope, that assurance. But I also know that God has various ways of calling us home before He Himself returns. I don't know how many of these people that were involved in these various tragedies were saved. Now it's important that you and I be prepared for tomorrow. Tomorrow is unknown. I suppose in many ways we're glad we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Because if we did, we'd worry. But our lives are hid in Christ, and He holds the future. He's mine. I'm His. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So I'm at least Calvinistic enough to believe that if the Lord wants me to live, He'll do it. And if He wants me to go by way of a germ or an airplane wreck, wherever it is, I trust I'm ready to go. Are you? Now, people are worrying about tomorrow. What's going to happen? What's going to take place? Will I be involved? We don't know. And I can see why people today are worrying. If you're not saved, you've got a lot to worry about. You have no future. As a matter of fact, one that's without Christ, even in spite of the civilized country in which we live, with all our scientific discoveries and great transportation and all kinds of things that have taken place, they're just as much a sinner as the old pagans in Africa. But we have a future. Now, Matthew 6:34 says this, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, the world, as I said, does not understand the future. Scientists are great individuals. They've studied hard in chemistry and biology and zoology and all the various phases of science, but they don't know their future. They're making all kinds of missiles for destruction. They're making all kinds of scientific discoveries for constructive purposes. They're hoping that by the scientific knowledge which has been given to them, that they'll be able to contribute something to the world. But they don't know the future. Men that have made the hydrogen bomb are scared to death each day. They might get some of that in their own system, die. And they have no future. Philosophers stand up and speak on philosophy and give the various views of philosophical ideology and so on. Now, they don't know the future because they don't know God. Educators stand up and speak about the methods of education, of elementary, secondary, and higher education, and try to bring in new thoughts and new ideas. And they want to improve our knowledge and increase our understanding of various things, but they don't know God. Statesmen seeking to gain reputation and get nominated to offices are talking about that they have the solutions of the world.
You'll elect me as the President of the United States or as the Senator of our state or the Governor or the Mayor. I promise you that I'll do this, and tomorrow will be a different day, and we'll get rid of these old traditions and so on, and we'll have a utopia. They don't know the future. But how wonderful that we know the future, because we know Him, because the Bible tells us what's going to happen. And we ought not to have that fear and anxiety that so many Christians have today. Oh, I'm so afraid what's going to happen. Well, I don't know why we need to fear, because He's with us. If what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He's been with us through the years. He's provided our needs. He has given us these things that have given us joy and peace in our lives. Well, why get worried now? God can do great things. As you preacher boys know, you're sending in reports. Some are good and some aren't so hot, because some of you are very busy, and I hope you'll improve. But we've been getting all kinds of reports from the fellows throughout the country, and got one the other day that just blessed my heart. He said, you know, I came home feeling that I would never again come back to Bob Jones University because I did not have the funds. My folks are opposed to my coming. They don't agree with the philosophy of this institution. They think that I'm narrow-minded, that I've lost my upper story. But they had to admit, son, we've seen a great change in you, and evidently there's something down there we don't understand. But they still refused to help him to come to school. And he said, I went to do some personal work. And I met a gentleman, an aged man, who was standing out in front of his lawn, working a little bit on his some of the bushes, the flowers. And I occasioned to ask him if he was a Christian. He said, well, I certainly am, son. I presume you are. Yes, I am. What are you doing, son? Well, he told him he was here at Bob Jones University preparing for the full-time ministry, and that he didn't know whether he'd be able to come back because financially he had nothing. But he said, I'm trusting the Lord that He'll supply my needs, and I'm not worried, and I'm just coming back there. He said, well, son, what is your need? He told him, well, would you have any objections if I helped you? The boy said, no. And the man has promised to give him the full support for this year. He said, Dr. Stenholm, I'm not going to worry anymore. I'm going to trust the Lord. Now, the Lord expects us to do that. Is He not a great God? He owns the hills, the mines, the cattle. My, He's been able to do so many wonderful things for us, and yet we get so discouraged and blue, and we become anxious. Well, let's remember the One who holds the future. But not only that, our knowledge of the future may be limited, but it says in James 4:11, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. My, how time flies, by the way. You look back and you wish you could live over your life somewhat, because there's been so much time wasted and things you liked to have done, you didn't take advantage of the opportunity, and now it's too late. Now, young people, let some of us older fellows tell you something. Now that you've got an opportunity and God's given you the mind and the blessings and the privileges that are in store for you, will you please make use of every opportunity you have today to prepare for God's work, because before you know it, time will have gone on. It's too late. Boy, I wish I remember when I was about 7 years old, and in my home, all the preachers came to our home, the evangelists and the missionaries. I got so sick and tired of preachers. Dad would say, now, boys, the guest evangelist will be with us for dinner next Sunday with the pastor. I said, Dad, again? And they'd come to the home, you know, he'd always say, now, boys, you want you in your best behavior. And just be quiet as you sit at the table, and you should be seen and not heard. We'd sit there and listen. Wish we could say something, but we look at Dad, and we knew we better not. And then, as was the custom, let's go in the living room and chat while the women do the dishes. And I guess men can chat about as well as women can. Maybe that's a consolation, you girls. I was sitting there in the Davenport twiddling my thumbs, and I'd listen to them talk about economy, politics, church, business, education, and so on. And my little mind, I thought, my, I'll be so glad when I'm as old as they are. I'll take my daddy's business and construction work, and we'll build homes and so on. We'll have the trucks and the equipment, and perhaps be active in a church and have a home and so on. And my, I had great anticipation of the future. Oh, I reached that age. I wish I was young again. Sure have wasted time. Sure have carried on foolishly things that I shouldn't have done, and I should have taken time to read the Word, to prepare, to memorize, to learn, so that as we get older, we might be able to use it. You know, I was talking with Ron Comfort some months ago. Ron's eyes are becoming dim. We ought to pray for him, but there evidently is. There's no cure for him. It's a dreaded disease that they've not been able to find the cure for it, and he's gradually going blind. And God has given him an unusual ability in evangelism, and great souls have been saved, great messages that he's brought. The Lord's blessed him, but he said, you know, Dr. Stenholm, I didn't appreciate what I had until I found out that I was going blind. He said, I'm memorizing chapter after chapter of the Word of God that I might be prepared for the time when God closes my eyelids. And I felt ashamed of myself as I listened to him tell of the hours that he spends in memorizing the Scripture, preparing for the future, if God tarries, that he might be used of the Lord. Because as it looks now, from the medical viewpoint, there's no hope as far as they're concerned, but God can do great things. But as it looks now, he'll go blind. We have a missionary that we've just accepted under the Gospel Fellowship Missions, who because of certain conditions in Scotland had to resign and ask if the possibility of going out under this group, and he was accepted. And I know he wouldn't mind telling you this, and he is much in prayer for this, but he has muscular dystrophy, or whatever you call it. And he's gradually losing his strength. And it is predicted by the medical authorities that in 15 years he'll be in the wheelchair. Well, usually when you hear that this is going to take place, you say, well, what am I going to do? What's my future? Is there any hope for my particular message, wheelchair? Somebody's going to have to wheel me around and I'm going to be handicapped. But that wasn't his attitude. He said, you know, even if I'm in a wheelchair, I'm going to be very active for the Lord. And they said that they had no reason why he couldn't carry on in Scotland, even if in a wheelchair. He has a church. The Lord has supplied his needs according to the government issuance there on medical help. They're going to take care of his expenses to a great extent. He really isn't worrying about anything. He's just waiting to get back in August, to get back to Scotland and do something for the Lord. Yet he knows that in the future he's going to be totally handicapped as far as being able to walk. It's just a brief time. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all her sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. It comes and it's gone. But how much have you given to God? How lazy are we? How indifferent are we to the things of God when we realize that he's given us the manna from above, the water, the sustenance to live, all the wonderful things, and yet we are not satisfied. Nothing seems to suit us. Well, not only that, but God's hand safely holds the future. If we're on his side, we don't need to fear. God has a purpose for you. Nothing can harm you. He's provided his care for you. If all hell breaks loose and you're faithful to God, don't worry. I quoted that scripture a little while ago, but I repeat again, the little girl was supposed to have learned that little scripture. What shall we say then to these things if God be for us? Who can be against us? And that day she was a little lazy in learning it. When she got home, Mother said, honey, what was the verse you learned today? Well, she said, Mother, we learned this verse What shall we say to these things if God be for us? You're up against it. If you are yielded to the Spirit of the Lord and you're in His way and His will, anybody that tries to buck you and work against you is in trouble. I think we can see that with the testimony of this university. I think we can see it in the churches that many of our young men have established, and men from other schools as well, who knew that there was going to be opposition and every kind of a pressure brought to bear, but they had one goal, and that was Christ, and because of that, they've had success as far as Christian success is concerned. And it's wonderful to know that you're holding His hand and walking with Him, knowing that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We need not fear. Perfect love casteth out all fear. God hath not given a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Let's use it. The last thing, and we have a commission for the future. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth. So we haven't got much time to waste now. Let's get busy for God. These are a few days left as far as summer school is concerned. Many of you will be going home for summer. My, the opportunities that lie before you. What a future you and I have in spite of satanic forces. In spite of efforts to try to defeat us and thwart our work, remember, God's on the throne. He's on our side. Let's not make excuses for our problems and worry about tomorrow when He who is the future controls us. Maybe you've heard this little poem, and I'm sure it's so true of most of us today as Christians. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Real service is what I desire. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. Don't ask me to sing in a choir. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I like to see things come to pass. But don't ask me to teach boys and girls, dear Lord. I'd rather just stay in my class. I'll do what you want me to do, dear Lord. I yearn for the kingdom to thrive. I'll give you my nickels and dimes, dear Lord, but please don't ask me the tithe. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll say what you want me to say. I'm busy just now with myself, dear Lord. I'll help you some other day. I'm afraid that's the attitude of most of us today. Today is here. Opportunities lie before us. The past is gone. There's nothing you can do about it. Tomorrow's a clean page. Let's not soil it. Let's give God our lives and radiate Christ in our lives so that as people see us walking daily, they can say of us that they took knowledge of us that we've been with Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for the Chapel Platform. If you would like a copy of today's message, please send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina. The zip code is 29614. Please mention the speaker, Dr. Gilbert Stenholm, the title of his message, Don't Fear Tomorrow or Waste Today, and also be sure to mention today's date. The Chapel Platform has been sponsored by Bob Jones University. Join us again for the Chapel Platform.